in verse number 1 with the Apostle Paul, and then we started last week in the middle of verse number 2 with the salutation that Paul is given to the saints here at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And understanding that the grace, as the Apostle Paul is so wonderful at, and knowing the good grace of God because of what happened in his life and the grace of God to be able to save him. And each and every book, with the exception of the book of Hebrews, each and every book dealing with the salutation was started with extending the grace of God upon those believers there. And I believe it's one of the greatest expressions of love. We went over this last week. One of the greatest expressions of love is to bestow the grace of God upon someone, wishing the grace of God upon them, because it's one of the greatest manifestations of the love of God is grace being manifested upon us, because we're undeserving, completely undeserving of it. And so even the expression of love of the Lord Jesus Christ being sent here to suffer and bleed and die for us was an extension, an expression of the grace of God. And then, of course, it's through the grace of God that we have peace. And may I remind this, through this time, especially of uncertainty in our nation, it seems like the mental wear and tear. Because everywhere you look, if you try to get away from the news and say, "Okay, I want to get away from it. I don't want to talk about it," but you come in contact with someone, that's all they want to talk about. And so it's just a constant overload of information and communication about what's taking place. Aren't you thankful for the peace of God? And it is through prayer. Because we see that, as the Apostle Paul wrote, that the peace of God, as we're careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds. I'm not going to ask how many listening tonight or here tonight, at some point in the past week, has allowed their mind to be able to start wondering on what if this gets into something bigger than what they're expecting. We can allow the mind to be able to run wild. But I am thankful that through prayer and supplication, taking it before the Lord, because guess what? Besides being aware and being safe and doing everything that we can do, there's nothing else we can do. There's nothing we can do except all that we can do. And so when we do that, rest is in God's hands, and we trust Him and ask Him for His peace. Now, I want to take it a step further after we get out of the salutation as he begins in verse number 3. And I want you to see this. The Apostle Paul saying to the saints at Colossae says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints." Now, we could take the time. We're not going to get into all of it this evening, but this sentence, if you see this, that we started reading in verse number 3, and the punctuation is very important, but this sentence that is started, so to get the complete thought, it actually goes down through verse number 8. Okay, so you see this at the end of verse number 3 is a comma at the end of verse number 4, semicolon at the end of verse number 5, a colon at the end of verse number 6, semicolon at the verse number 7, and finally a period at verse number 8. You say, why is that so important? English is important as you're studying through the Word of God to be able to connect all of these thoughts, because the Holy Spirit of God has connected these thoughts down through it. So we're going to start with just the first couple verses of this greeting, not just the salutation as Paul is opening his letter. But I want you to see, first of all, and I believe it's very fitting for this evening, in verse number 3, as we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I want you to see, first of all, the object of the person of who they are praying to. Now, aren't you so thankful during times like these? And we sang the song on Sunday, in times like these, we have a Savior. In times like these, we have a Bible. And I'm thankful in times like these that we are actually able to pray to someone who is alive and is still on the throne. Okay? And so even the Apostle Paul is reminding the church here and the saints at Colossae, we are giving thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. There is one person that is deserving of all the honor and the glory and the praise and the thanks that we give in our lives, and that's none other than the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Now, think about this. As we think about who we pray to, we're actually given this example by the Lord Jesus Christ when he gives us the model prayer back in Matthew, the model prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. Okay? And so the prayer begins every time we pray, understanding that that prayer is directed to God the Father seated in heaven. Okay? He's the same God that we have all the way back in Genesis 1:1, who is named in the fourth word of the Bible, in the beginning, God. That is the exact same God that the Apostle Paul is beginning his letter here, that saying, we're praying for you, and we are giving thanks, and we are giving thanks to the exact same God, all the way back at the beginning of time, that he said, in the beginning, God. And may I say, almost 2,000 years later, from when the Apostle Paul is praying to God Almighty, guess what? When we prayed today, we prayed to the exact same God. He's not lost any power whatsoever. In fact, he has not even gotten tired of hearing from us. How many at some point, maybe you just get tired of talking on the phone? I'm not going to ask if you ever put someone to voicemail just because you didn't feel like talking to them at that point. And you're like, come on now, I'm just tired of talking on the phone. How many believe that texting was one of the greatest things ever invented so you didn't have to have phone calls all the time? I still like phone calls from time to time, okay? But yet sometimes the flesh gets weary of just talking. Maybe if you're in a job situation and you're just talking with people all day long, when you come home, that'd be something we'd have to work on, isn't it? As far as coming home and just saying, don't talk to me. But yet, maybe the wife or the husband has been there all day and they haven't talked to anybody and they're trying to catch up for the last 12 hours and you're saying, I don't really want to talk to anybody. Can I remind us, God's never gotten weary. He's never gotten tired. He's never come and said, listen, I've just had too many people talk to me today. The person to which the Apostle Paul was giving thanks and to whom he was praying is the same person that we're able to go to today. When we don't know what to do, when we're trying to give thanks for something, when we're praying for other people, the same person. We're giving thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, I want you to see verse number 4, and we're just going to get through verse number 4 this evening, because I want you to see specifically two things that the Apostle Paul was praying for and giving thanks for as he was praying on behalf and for the saints here in Colossae. Now, if we remember coming down through here that was shared a couple weeks ago by way of introduction, that it's very possible that the Apostle Paul never went to Colossae to be able to preach the gospel, okay? We're reminded that at the beginning of chapter 2 and in the first couple verses of the conflict and the burden that the Apostle Paul had for them and the saints there at Laodicea and for others who have not seen my face in the flesh. And so there's a good possibility down here in verse number 7 that it is Epaphras, who is the one that was on the missionary team that actually, while they were up there in Asia Minor, Asia Minor. Put my R in the wrong place. I said Asia. Asia Minor. That's New England for you, isn't it? But Asia Minor, that while they were up there, that possibly Epaphras went down to Colossae, preached the gospel, came back, and was able to tell the Apostle Paul about the souls that were saved, about the lives that were changed. And so I want you to see this in verse number 4. He said, "We're giving thanks and we're praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." So at the moment, and I'm going to take Paul at his word, and I'm going to take the word of God at its word, okay? So from the moment that Epaphras came back and reported to Paul, boy, let me tell you what happened down there in Colossae. I mean, just, boy, I was able to get down there, and this is just ad-libbing, okay? This is reading between the lines, and you can imagine how it took place. And I just wonder if Epaphras came back from Colossae and said, Paul, it sure broke loose down there in Colossae. We're not sure how many saints were there. We do know that a prominent businessman named Philemon possibly got saved during that time, and very possibly that church is meeting there in his house, and comes back and starts talking about how the Holy Spirit of God was saving Jews and Gentiles down there in the little city of Colossae. And it's at that moment, the Bible says, here's what the Apostle Paul is writing back to the saints. He said, "Listen, I want you to know, since I've heard of your faith, I've been praying for you." Now, can I say that challenged my heart? Because I wonder how many in our lives we've heard about them placing their faith and trust and calling upon the Lord and believing the Lord for salvation, and we hear about that, but who in our lives would we be able to honestly say, "Since I've heard of your faith, I've been praying for you"? Now, that was convicting when I went through it in my heart, because I'm thinking there's several that I've heard of that's trusted Christ, and I wonder if they've made it onto my regular prayer list. And even now, taking it a step further, I've heard you've trusted Christ. Now I'm writing a letter and contacting you. Now, maybe the equivalent, we're not inspired by the Holy Spirit to be able to write it down today, but the equivalent would be we're contacting new Christians. We're following up with them. We're giving them discipleship and following up with the Word of God to be able to encourage them in the faith and to be able to see them grow. But the Apostle Paul, and I believe this, I don't know if he had a parchment or a scroll or something that he had for his individual prayer list. I'm sure he had a brilliant mind, but he was still human, and I wonder if he forgot things, and I wonder if he had to write them down. And when Epaphras came back and said, "Hey, let me tell you what happened down in Colossae, and these souls that were saved, and this man named Philemon got saved." I mean, he made such an impact. He got his own letter that Onesimus carried back to him. And we see this, and I just wonder if Paul went back as he was studying that night, or maybe in his quiet time and spending some time in prayer, and he said, "I need to write down these saints at Colossae. And I need to make sure that in my daily prayer life, I am still praying for them." I appreciate it. There's people in our church, and I understand that more do it and maybe don't vocalize it, but that will come up and say, "Listen, I pray for you every day." And I praise the Lord for that. What a blessing. And it's challenged my heart looking back into this letter written to the saints at Colossae saying, "Listen, I've prayed for you since I've heard of your faith." That maybe that would challenge our hearts and lives, that we hear about someone getting saved, but usually it's on the other side of it. Usually we're saying, "Yeah, we'll see if it's true. Yeah, we'll see if it's real." Well, I just wonder if we had the prayer form, and I just wonder if we had the follow-up and the contact. I just wonder if they'd grow a little bit more. and they wouldn't just fall off to the side, and then people say, yeah, I knew they never got it. I'm glad I didn't waste my prayers on them. Can I say this? I don't believe praying for people is ever a waste of our prayers. But the commitment and the challenge that is given here that convicted my heart and life is on this subject matter of, listen, since I've heard of your faith, I've been praying for you. And I wonder what that meant from someone who they had possibly never met before to write to them and say, I've heard about your faith and I'm praying for you. But then the second thing that he was given thanks for and praying for, he said, I'm praying for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And look at this, and of the love which ye have to all saints. And boy, when I just read verse 4, I said, what better could summarize our prayer and our Christian walk and our relationship with others? Paul said this, I'm praying for you since I've heard of your faith, and I'm giving thanks because I've heard about the love that you have to all saints. Do you understand that the saints at Colossae, they had never met, I believe they'd never met the Apostle Paul. I believe they'd never met the saints back at Jerusalem. They'd never met the saints down in Corinth. They'd never met the saints, listen, in the Tri-Cities area, over maybe in Laodicea. Maybe afterwards they started getting together, because that epistle, we realize back in chapter number 3, the epistle to the Laodiceans was to be read in the church at Colossae, and this epistle to the Colossae believers was to be read in the church to the saints of Laodicea. So maybe they had a little fellowship, but yet there were believers and there were saints that they had never met. And Paul said, I want you to know I've been giving thanks and I've been praying for you, number one, since I heard of your faith, and I heard of the love that you have. Now, shouldn't those two things characterize Christians today? It ought to characterize, number one, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just at the moment of salvation, but continually after salvation. Because even according to Galatians, the just are to still live by faith, okay? And we ought to be giving thanks for other believers that we hear of, that we see, that we experience, and say, hey, I praise the Lord for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then I'm thanking God for the love that you have for all saints. Shouldn't that characterize modern day believers? Love for each other? I believe there's even a verse about that, isn't there, over in 1 John? That we know that we're the children of God. Why? Not just that we do His commandments, but we love the brethren. And I'm thinking, Lord, if you would allow these two things to be able to characterize our lives, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our love for the brethren. You say, oh no, I want so much more to identify my life. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know something? If I come to the end of my life and they say, hey, he had faith in the Lord and he loved the brethren, I'd say, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not saying, but listen, if I hear of someone that's trusted Christ and they're being discipled, they're trying to do their best to be able to live right, sometimes love for the brethren is saying, listen, I want to draw up alongside of you and say, this isn't exactly right, but I'm saying it because I love you. Now, I'm not going to get up and maybe call them out like this and say, hey, you better watch out for that, unless they're living in open sin. I understand that as part of the church. Part of the love for the brethren, that's what we do in our family, saying, hey, this isn't right, this isn't right. We need to get this right and start living right. Here's what the Bible says. That's all love for the brethren, increasing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know right now across our nation that there are hurting people? There are nervous and there are fearful people. Not everybody's in the exact same place spiritually as what everybody else is. And some may be able to walk around and say, well, bless God, I'll walk anywhere. And if I get it, I get it. And I'm just trusting God on all of that. Well, if that's where people's faith is, I'm not one that believes you go and reach into a fire and grab a snake out, okay? And just trust God that I'm not going to get bit by it. that's not me. But I thought, you know, what they do need to see right now is the love of God flowing through us. And I'm not talking about just giving someone a bottle of water, okay? That doesn't characterize the love of God that we're supposed to be able to show. That may be part of it, but the priority is, and I was thinking on this today, on how many we could probably talk to. Now listen, with social distancing, it's working out real good for some people. Because they're like, hey, I've been social distancing for 50 years. And any opportunity they have to be able to stay away from people, they're doing great. But I thought, you know, I wonder if we could ask people, are you prepared for after the virus? Okay, what do you mean? Well, whether the virus takes someone out or not, we're still all going to stand before God one day, aren't we? And we can so have some great compassion and love for people, not just about preparing them for the next couple weeks, but what about sharing the love of God with them to prepare them for eternity? And I believe what's taking place here with the saints at Colossae is Paul saying, listen, I want you to know, first of all, I'm faithful to pray for you. And I'm praying for you since I've heard of your faith, and since I've heard of the love which ye have to all saints. It ought to so characteristic be such a character of our lives, of just saying, you know, they may not have everything together, and that is a characteristic of our lives. We don't have everything together. But I don't ever want it to be said, he didn't exercise his faith in the Lord. I don't ever want it to be said, he just didn't love the brethren. Well, I tell you, I want that to be elements of my life. And Paul was saying about the saints there at Colossae, I see your faith, and I hear of your love. And boy, I'm so thankful for that. And I pray that that would be the things that someone would be able to write to us about and say, I've heard of your faith, and I've heard of your love, which ye have to all the saints. We're going to get through the rest of the not the prayer down through here, but just the greeting starting in verse number 5 on next Thursday night. But let's read, and so you can read it up this week, starting in verse number 5. It says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. And I told you a couple weeks ago, I've got that phrase, and bringeth forth fruit, I've got that circled in my Bible. Because the gospel is going to bring forth fruit in our lives, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister in Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And I'll give you a little heads up in verse number 8. Can you imagine this group of saints down in Colossae sending their love back to Paul, whom they'd never met? But I wonder if just the burden that Paul had, and that was conveyed through Epaphras, that they sent it back and said, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Hey, tell Paul we love him. Why? You've never met him. But boy, the burden he has to be able to reach people. The burden he has for the gospel. The burden he has to be able to leave Antioch and to be able to come up here into Asia Minor and to be able to preach the gospel and to be able to see souls saved and the gospel established up there. Tell Paul we love him. Can I say this? I think when we get to heaven, we'll send our love to Paul too. Say, hey, thank you for giving the gospel. And it spread across that region, the other apostles, and then eventually the gospel able to come across to us. And so let's be found faithful. I want to be characterized by our faith in Christ Jesus and the love that we can have to all saints. And so let's be praying this week that God will allow that to be able to take place in our lives. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the saints here at Colossae that the Apostle Paul was able to write to as he heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus and the love that they have to all saints. And Lord, I pray that the characteristics of that church in those two areas, that we'd be able to apply them to our hearts and lives, and that, Lord, would make a difference with those that are around us. Now, Lord, help us as we continue in the Word of God over the next several weeks and look down through here to what you have for us. May we apply it to our lives now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.